Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Just want to get right into the sermon series today. We're on a sermon series called Pray First, Prayer First. And how many know prayer works? Can I say that again? Prayer works. Prayer works. And so what we want to do in this sermon series is that we want you to understand that it's important, number one, to pray corporately, but it's also important to pray individually, because God wants you to have a personal time with Him, a personal experience with Him. And so today I want to talk a little bit about getting to know God through prayer, getting to know God through prayer. So when you look over the history of this nation, all of our great moves of God, great movements of God started in prayer. In prayer. So if you look at the great awakenings, men and women that were out crying out to God, it was something that was going on in the culture, in the world at the time, in our nation. And prayer in the church was a catalyst to bring people back to God. And so when you look at the world today and you're like, man, what is going on? Is God, are you in control? What's happening? You know what? Things are getting ready to happen, because there are people like you and I in the house of God that are crying out for God to do something great. And you can go through all the great history moments, Lord. You can think about the Azusa Street Revival with William Seymour, and how when he was going through the time out there in California, from that moment of prayer, something was birthed supernaturally that started the Pentecostal movement. You think about the Haystack Revival, college students out of Massachusetts, five college students going out into a field to cry out to God to do something great, because they got a burden for the nations. And so a lot of our missions movements today were birthed from those five college students praying and crying out to God to do something in the world. And so also you look at Jesus. Before Jesus went out and picked the disciples, he prayed. He prayed first. And so this morning I want to talk about the importance of individual prayer and getting to know God through prayer. And if you could go home with anything in your mind today, I wanted you to go home with this. Our great needs should drive us to pray to the great God who alone can deliver. Who alone can deliver. I'll say that one more time. Our great needs should drive us to pray to the great God who alone can deliver us. And so I want to look a little bit in Psalms 86, 1 through 17. And I'm looking at a man by the name of David. How many of you remember David? David was a man of prayer, and there was something significant about David's life as we read this scripture verse, is that David had a genuine, authentic relationship with God, and it didn't start like you and I may have started. David was taught about God through the word, but what God will do is God will put you in a situation in your life where it's just you and Him. And when it's just you and God, and you have to learn to develop this personal time with Him, where you have to rise early and you have to stay up late and you have to communicate needs to God, where God will take you and remove you from people that you're accustomed to being around. So God took David and put him where? In the backside of a mountain as a shepherd boy. And so he's alone by himself with sheep. Sheep don't talk. So you know this man was lonely. But during this time, what David was significant was that he was a worshiper and he was a praiser. And so you know and I know that God inhabits the praises of His people. And one way to communicate to God is through praise, worship, and prayer. And David developed this. And during this time, he developed moments where you know and I know only God can help you. Anybody ever been there before? Where you prayed in your closet, or you were praying in your car, or you were praying in your job, and it was just you and God and you, and the only person that knew that you were praying that was Him. So when the answer came, you knew down in your heart it had to be the Lord. And that's what we're talking about this morning, that experience. How did you feel when God showed up? How did your relationship go to the next level when God answered that prayer for you? See, God became real. And that's what I want to drive home to this morning, is that when we pray to the Lord, it's not just we're praying to a God that's not alive. No, our God is alive and well. And he hears the hearts and the cries of his people. And so when we read Psalms 86, starting in verse 1, this is David, and David's at his wit's end. David's under the most distress that you and I could ever be under, which is this word we call death, because men were out to get David. And if David doesn't pray, David doesn't make it. And if David doesn't cry out to his God, then God can't get him in and deliver him. So let's read this. It says here, "Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I'm poor and needy. Guard my life, for I'm devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long." Say all. "Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call on you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare to you with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." In verse 12, it says, "I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. The arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, men without regard for you. But you, O Lord, are compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me." Amen. Here's David. And this is a genuine, authentic prayer. This is a man that is at his wit's end and his back's against the wall. And if God doesn't do what he's supposed to do, he's going to be in trouble. The first thing you know is that David acknowledges that he's poor and needy. That he's poor and needy. The second thing he acknowledges, God's uniqueness, that God is set apart. There's something different about the God that we serve. The next, that he expects God to answer, that he's not just kind of crying out to some God that's not going to show up. No, he's expecting God to answer. And the last thing is this, that he desires God to get the glory. Number one, why should we pray? Why should you and I pray? What's the significance of prayer? Why should we pray? The first thing is this, is when we pray, it's a sign of dependency. Yes. See, what are you depending on today to get you out of your situation? Because the God that you and I serve is more than able. But you have to put yourself in a position to understand that I'm weak and he's strong. Yes. That my situation is beyond the things that I can handle on my own strength. And that when you begin to think about the bigness of God compared to your situation, all of a sudden you begin to understand that your God is able to deliver you and help you come through. I'm weak, he's strong. John 15:5 says this, that I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But this is the verse I want you to highlight in your Bible this morning. It says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So you have to invite God into your situation. You don't have to be afraid to go to your God and talk to him and say that this situation is overwhelming to me. See, that's a sign
of humility. A lot of men sometimes think, and women think, that we can handle situations on our own. But when you depend on God, when you take it to the Lord, the Bible says that you can cast all your cares on the Lord. Because number one is that He cares for you and I. He cares about your emotions. He cares about how you feel. He cares that you're weak. He cares that this situation is a little bit bigger than you. He cares about these things. He cares about His creation. Dependency. But it also says this, but with Him, say with Him, I can do all things. With Him. So when we pray, we have to come to God and invite Him in. Lord, I'm dependent on You. David said that I'm needy. I can't do this without Your help. I can't do this without Your strength. And I promise you this, there's going to come a moment in your life where the circumstance will be overwhelming and bigger than you. And if you have not developed this relationship with the Father through the Son, communicating Him your needs and the things that you have and the things that you want, if you don't communicate and develop this, it'll crush you. It'll crush you. We have great needs. This quote that I had here is from John Bunyan, the great axeman. It says, you can do more than pray after you've prayed. But you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Sometimes we take prayer as the last resort. We'll go out and we'll do it our way. We'll throw money at it. You'll go and try to do these things. You'll go at all these things. But it's amazing that after you've done all that you can do, then you pray. But prayer should be the first thing we do. Prayer should be the first thing that we go to. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So if I'm seeking God in the midst of my trial, in the midst of my storm, and whatever I'm facing, it says that He'll add to me what it is that I need. And there's a difference between a need and a want. See, wants drive you and I crazy. Because it's something that you want. You got anybody have children here? Yeah, I was in the store the other day, and all of a sudden, I want this, and I want that. Dad, can I have this? And Dad, I want this. I said, yeah, but do you need it? See, that need is the thing that will fulfill the soul. It will fulfill the void. The need is lasting. The need is what drives you and I to the next level in Christ. The need, add things to you. But He doesn't just do it anyway. He meets them specifically. Because once again, we're talking about prayer. Anybody ever had that prayer show up and it's specific? Man, I was praying for this and I got this. When I moved here from Nashville to New Jersey, I told the Lord specifically what I needed. Lord, I need this type of car. You know what? That type of car came. Lord, I need this type of home. You know what? This type of home came. But you know what happens is we get ahead of God. And God is not a late God. He's not an early God. He's an on-time God. And so what happens, we'll get ahead of Him, and we'll try to do things our own way, and we get frustrated. Any people frustrated this morning? I'm here to tell you, be patient. Wait on the Lord. Let Him do it His way. Because when God does it His way, it can't be undone. Amen. So when you're waiting for God to bless you with that job, let Him give you the job the way He wants to give you the job. Don't hook and crook. Don't do what the world does. Don't backbite. Don't connive. Don't do those things. Let God set you up, because when God puts you in that position, nobody can take you out of it. Some of you are worrying about the move. Where should I move? Should I go here? Do I need to do that? Let God place you where He needs to place you, and let Him do it that specific way. Because when God does it a specific way, and I need you to get this, when God does it a specific way, It's going to give you the strength to anchor down and hold on when the circumstances get crazy, when things break out. Because God puts you there. God's going to be able to provide. God's going to be able to take care of. He's going to be able to protect because he did it his way. He did it his way. Some of you are thinking, well, wait a minute. You know, this is kind of confusing. You know, God is a very wise person. It says that he created the heavens and the earth. And sometimes God will create a need to meet a need. Why does God do things? When you think about Pharaoh and Moses, the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart to not let the people go. But yet he told Moses to go and get my people. That's confusing. You're telling me to go and get the people, but you're going to harden Pharaoh's heart to not to let the people go. That don't make sense. But you know what God said? He says, I'm doing this for one reason and one reason only. Because I want you to understand that I'm going to get the glory. And not only am I going to get the glory, but this is something that I want you to pass down to your children and your children's children. So when you're going through circumstances and situations and you're crying out to God and he's not answering, he's holding back. God, where are you? I'm going to die. You're not going to die. What he's doing is he's stretching your faith. And he's going to do this thing so magnificently, so big, so that you're always going to remember that moment in your life when God took you from the pit to the palace, when he took you from darkness and brought you to light. There's a reason why he did it, so you will never forget how mighty and how powerful your God is. He's always going to allow circumstances to rise up on you. And you know what? To this day, we're thinking and we're talking about the children of Israel. To this day, we're talking about, man, you remember how God parted the sea, how he blessed them, how he took care of them. Their foot didn't swell. All these little things. Why? Because he wants you and I to remember that he's a detail-oriented God. He's an on-time God. And he will always show up and he'll show out. God is an amazing God. And those people, they were crying out. They were crying out. See, our great need should drive us to pray to the great God who alone can deliver us. How's your prayer life? How are you praying today? Why is it so important? Number two, who do we pray to? So important. Who do you and I pray to? I'm not praying to the wind. You see, David said that he expected God to answer. There's something about going to the Lord, God Almighty, and with a heart of expectation. Mm-hmm. See, when you go to God, when your children come to you, they don't come to you sheepishly. My kids, they just kick the door down. Dad, I want this right now. They're not coming in all sheepishly and all. No. Dad, we need this right now. And when I tell my son, I may not be with him physically, but over the phone, okay, we'll go get it, son. Just give me a little time. He doesn't doubt. You know why? Because he knows that his dad is able to back up whatever he's going to say. Do you know that God is the same way? We should pray to the only one true God. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God. Say one God. And one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. See, God can back up what he says he's going to do. Why? Because he created everything. The Bible says in Psalms 33:6 that he spoke the world into existence by the breath of his mouth. It says in Isaiah 40:16 that he can call the stars out by name. There's over a billion stars in the galaxy. More than that. And so he can call each one of them by name. So I need you to get this today. If I'm praying to the one true God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, surely he can take care of my problem. Surely he can step out of eternity and into my situation and turn it around. That's why we go to the Lord. That's why we cry out to God. So many testimonies over my life where if God doesn't come through, I'm in trouble. God, if you don't show up, I'm going to break down. I need a miracle today. I need you to come through. And as I'm pulling my heart on Lord, and I'm giving him everything I have, the thing that I begin to realize is that, you know what? He's alive and he's listening. It says in Psalms 27:7, it says, I can cry out to the Lord and he'll answer. And I'm going to ask you something. When you pray, is it some kind of, well, you know, I'm just going to throw it up there, or are you crying out to God? See, when you cry out to the Lord, we got mothers in here. When that baby cries, it don't matter what you're doing. It's automatic. I'm dropping everything, and he or she's got my attention. There's something about the cry of a child. And God is the same way. When we're crying out to him, he's listening. When we're crying out, he's saying, look, just give me just a little bit of time. Let me do it my way. But I'm hearing what's going on with you, because he's the one true God. Psalms 91, 14 and 15, it says, because I've set my love upon the Lord, he will deliver me and he will answer. Because I've set my love upon him. See, when you set your love and your affection on the Lord, it doesn't matter what time of night it is. It don't matter what time of day it is. You're going to go to him. You can stop everything and begin to cry out to God. Our great needs should drive us to a pray to the great God who alone can deliver. Number three, how should we pray? How? Because, you know, it's sometimes we try to pray. Sometimes people say, I don't know how to pray. But the first thing you got to get correct is this. You pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. And why Jesus? Is because Jesus is the true mediator. Jesus is the true mediator. So I'm not praying in Muhammad. I'm not praying in Buddha. I'm not praying in Confucius. I'm praying in the name of Jesus, because Jesus gives me access. The Bible says in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever, say whatever, you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Whatever you ask in my name. And it's important to understand names, because names will give you access. Names will get you where you need to be. Names will take you from the back of the line to the front of the line. When you pray in the name of Jesus to the one true God, he shows up. It says that he will answer. He will answer. Our God is mighty and able to deliver. It says in John 14:6, it says, Jesus answered, I am. Say, I am. The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through the Father. No one can get to God except through Jesus Christ. And I have to preach that boldly this morning, because so many people are confused when it comes to religion out there. But why Jesus? Is because Jesus is alive and well, sitting at the right hand of the Father in power. Jesus is alive. He's not dead. So when God said, would the true one and only living God stand up? Jesus got out of the grave, and everybody else is still in the grave. So I'm going to preach this with boldness, because our God is alive. And so when you're praying and you need a miracle, it's okay to call on the name of Jesus. It's okay to call on the name of Jesus. Y'all quiet this morning, man. What's going on around here? We had a great night of worship. God, Jesus was here. Great things were going on. I'm excited. Prayer. Maybe, Pastor Doug, maybe we may just need an all-night prayer meeting here. I know we brought the mattresses here. We did all this stuff. You know, maybe we need to just come in here as a church and just pray. And then when God begins to answer, see, there wouldn't be a church in Precipiny if it wasn't for prayer. Right. It wouldn't be all that you see around here if it wasn't for prayer. That's right. People wouldn't be in the room this morning if it wasn't for prayer. So people are saying, if God is real, show me. Go ahead and touch the seat in front of you. Touch the person next to you. God prayed you here. God brought us here in this church. So it was prayer. Right. Prayer. You have to pray. God shows up and does great things. How should we pray? Earnestly. Earnestly. You pray fervently. Pray not to the blessing. Pray through it. Pray through the blessing. I don't pray up to it. I pray through the blessing. Earnestly, fervently. I'm crying out, God, show me what to do. I don't know what to do. Pray continually. nonstop, morning, noon, and night. Man, I'm driving and I'm praying and I'm lifting up the name of Jesus. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for my children. I'm praying for the dog, the cat, the neighbor, whoever it is. But I'm going to pray and believe God to do something great with me, through me, and in my community. Amen. I'm praying. There's power in prayer. Pray thankfully. Pray thankfully. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Man, pray with joy. You know why? Because God is going to answer. And even if he doesn't answer, it's still good because I'm alive. It could be worse. And so I'm always praying with joy. Why? Because we have to go back to the very beginning to where he answered that prayer. And I'm talking about the prayer that only God could answer for you. See, when I see people raise their hands or shout and dance and crying and doing their thing on Sunday morning, I don't bother them. I don't look at them strange because I don't know what God did for them. See, you weren't there when the bank account was low and all of a sudden God showed up on their behalf. You weren't there when they were in the deathbed and all of a sudden God showed up and healed them and now they got joy on their life. You weren't there when their child was wayward, lost, out there doing dark stuff and all of a sudden God brought him or her home. So that is where the joy is coming from because of what God did for them. And see, when God shows up like that for you, it doesn't matter what people say or think. You know that God answered your prayer. And so that joy just bubbles out. That praise bubbles out. It says, in all circumstances, give thanks. Here David is, face on the ground, death at the door. And he's thanking God. And I can only imagine where his mind was, knowing that these men at any moment can kick the door down and his life is over. But it said he gave thanks. And there's something about praise and thanksgiving in the midst of the storm. See, prayer and praise confuses the enemy. See, the enemy sometimes thinks that he's got you. See, the enemy's scheme is to take your faith and to bring up your past and wear you down because of it. But David went to a spot and he began to thank God for delivering him from the bear and the paw of the lion. He began to thank God for taking care of business on his behalf with Goliath. He began to thank God for all the good things that he's done over his life that gave him the strength to keep moving forward. See, sometimes you and I, we don't just have mountains in our lives that we got to climb. Sometimes we got mountain ranges. It's one thing after the other. And so the enemy wants to wear you down and to steal your praise. But my last point is this. It says, what should we do? What should we do to pray? What should we pray for, I should say? Not only do we pray for God to save us. Not only do we pray for God to deliver us. But we also pray and ask God to save those around us. We also pray for his name and to be glorified. And this is why he said that you get the glory and let my friends and my enemies see it. It's because people are watching you and I on this journey. And they want to know if the God that you serve is for real. They want to know that when your life and bad things hit your life, are you going to cleave to Jesus? Or are you going to kiss him and say, peace, I'm out? He said, glorify your name. Glorify your name in the midst of the circumstance. Let the people around see it. Because when they see it, now all of a sudden, they want in on it. If God can do it for you, surely he can do it for me. if God can take care of your situation, surely he can take care of mine. Now, what I need to know is, what do I need to do in order to get access to your God? Do I need to pray? Tell me more about this Jesus thing. All of a sudden now, because you've been crying out and God answers specifically, he shows up on your behalf. All those around now are taking notice and saying, man, I got to have what you have. I got to be what you are. My family needs what you have. Bring that to me. Saints, it's not just about the corporate prayer, but it's that individual time on the backside of the mountain. Just like David with those sheep, it's just you and God. And when he meets that moment, when he shows up in your life in a way that's so specific that you know that you know that you know it was God. It does something in the soul. It's an anchor where you know that my God is able, and that through no storm, any storm, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. You know, saints, I tell you all the time that as I stand here and minister the word, you're looking at a miracle. Because the enemy does not play fair. He wants to wipe your life out. He wants to make sure that you don't open your mouth and tell people about Jesus. But if you always go back to that moment when he delivered you, when he came through on your behalf, it's going to cause you to anchor down. And it does something that makes your relationship so sweet that no matter what goes on, you're going to make it. We're going to continue to be a praying church. We pray in the morning. We pray on the phone. We pray Friday nights once a month. But I know that if we want to see God take this church to another level, we're going to have to take our prayer time to another level.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.